Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Quentin Thurman. I'm taking over today for Jordan Thigpen while he's cruising in the Bahamas. I'm joined by Morgan Nowak and Chris Miller. And today we're going to be doing a little bit of a recap on the Turkey mission trip that that Chris just got back from. Let's get equipped. We are so excited to be here once again while the music's playing. We just get to stare at each other's lovely faces. Go ahead and say hi, Chris and Morgan.
Hi.
Hi.
But yeah, today we are going to have kind of a shorter episode, something that's a little bit more less off topic or more off topic and less like specifically about something. But we just want to hear from Chris Miller, who just recently got back from a mission trip and our home mission expert,
okay,
Morgan Nowak, who knows everything about missions. Be kind of cool to get the viewpoints of somebody who has been on their first mission trip and somebody who is getting ready to do this full time. Mm-hmm. And so we had some questions that were submitted by our followers, and we're just kind of going to roll through those.
Sounds
and so,
great.
Chris, to kick us off, what made you want to go on this mission trip to Turkey?
Well, honestly, I really didn't have much of a desire to go on a mission trip. I saw the importance of missions, and I was always happy to support people going on missions. But I never seen myself as the missionary type going, you know, far away somewhere to share the gospel message. But when the mission, when it got posted for the trip, we didn't have a lot of interest right off the rip. And so God just put it in my spirit one day to volunteer, to go ahead and, why don't you jump in and volunteer to go on that trip? And so I did. I volunteered to go on the trip, and it was the best decision I probably ever made.
Wow, that's really good. And I think it's funny as you were talking, because you're like the most evangelistic person I probably know. Mm-hmm. Like, you will share the gospel with a brick wall if you had the opportunity.
Yes, but I've always been to the same there's so much need here, mm-hmm, that I didn't realize the need, the difference in the need overseas,
yeah,
and the importance of long-term and short-term overseas mission trips.
Yeah, perfect. And Morgan, as somebody who is fully sold out on mission trips and the effectiveness of mission and the Great Commission as it pertains to the global community, kind of tell us just a little bit about where your heart comes from for missions and why you think it's so important.
Yeah, I think, excuse me, I think that Chris, something that he said is very important of, I think oftentimes people believe that they're going to be called to missions work, whether it's short-term or long-term, like the clouds are going to part and Jesus himself is going to say, like, I choose you, you know? But oftentimes it's just a willingness to get on a plane and go, and that's all it takes 90% of the time, 99% of the time, is people that are just willing, and then, you know, trusting the Lord to do the rest. You don't have to have extensive education. You don't have to have extensive cultural experience, anything like that. You just have to be willing and trust the Lord to do the rest. And that's what we saw Chris do. And for me, it came from a very analytical place. I mean, the Spirit, of course, softened my heart and opened my eyes. But I think when I started to read statistics about where our world is at and where the gospel sits globally right now, and you look at these huge parts of the world, the most populated parts in the entire world have the least gospel understanding. And not just that, but they have the least gospel access. And so, I mean, sure, the U.S. has reached, you know, we claim the U.S. has reached, and that's great. But you look at these ginormous countries that put the U.S., make it look like just a tiny little baby, you know, Russia and India and China and these huge countries with all these people. Not only do they not know, they have no opportunity to know. Mm-hmm. And I was just so convicted by that, you know. And so I do have a willingness to go, and I don't think that I have, you know, a special gift or anything, but I think that these people need to know. And it's kind of in the place of like, well, who's going to tell them? And I have the opportunity, so why would I not take it?
Yeah, I think that's really good. I mean, if you hear that and aren't convicted a little bit, like, I don't know, there's something there. But and so mission trips can look very different depending on like where you're at and what you're doing there on that mission trip. And so, Chris, tell us a little bit just about what it looked like while you were in Turkey, and just kind of like what the mission looked like.
Okay. Well, first I want to go back to something Morgan said about not being talented and, you know, anything like that. And that was where I came from. And so something that I want to make clear to everybody that listens to this is you don't have to know a foreign language. You don't have to be exceptionally gifted, because I'm obviously not. I've tried to learn foreign languages before, and my brain just does not comprehend that. But whenever you do step out in faith, God gives you everything that you need while you're there to be able to learn and to associate and to be able to make transactions, financial transactions, to buy the things that you want, the things that you need, and to be able to communicate with the people, whether it be through a translator or even me not being able to pick up a foreign language that easy. I was able to pick up a phrase or a word every single day that I was there. And by the end of the trip, I could go buy my own coffee. I could go buy my own breakfast. I could make change. I could say please and thank you and nice to meet you and good morning. And which you really can't get, you can't like live life that way. But in a week's time, I thought that was phenomenal that God, you know, bestowed upon me the ability to be able to just get along, do the basic things. So something I wanted to let everybody know is that regardless of where you think you're at, if you get the opportunity to go on a mission trip, I highly recommend it, because God's going to supply all of what you need while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The catchphrase that always comes to mind is that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
And that was perfectly explained for me. I saw that worked out exactly right while we
and
were there.
Just for a split second, I know we're getting off of the question that we asked you. We haven't even got there yet, but another big, huge, I don't know, red flag or barrier or whatever for people is the finances.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's like the biggest thing, even more so sometimes in the cultural knowledge or whatever else, is, well, I can't pay for it, or I don't know anyone that's going to pay for it. And I'll just say, like, we could talk about this more, you know, for people that are interested, but please don't let that be a barrier, because the Lord, you know, the Bible tells us he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, you know, and like even the money belongs to the Lord. And we don't at Connection Church believe you should pay for it. We believe that we can invite the community into those things with us. And I've been sitting in this seat training our mission teams and supporting our missionaries for over 3 years now. And say we do, I don't know, 3 to 4 trips a year. I have never, ever, ever seen one not go funded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I've seen it happen at the last possible second. I think the Lord like gets a kick out of that. But I've never seen it not happen. And it's never been, I mean, I think that the participants in the mission trips, they do good work, but it's never been due to their work. It's been due to the Lord. And so please don't let that be like a stumbling block to get involved in missions as well.
No, I'll agree with that as well. That's something that I was worried about. You know, it's like, how are we going to fund this thing? But then just seeing the faithfulness of God stirring people's hearts, knowing that the gospel message needed to go to Turkey, and then funds started coming in anonymously, and people that we knew, we were $20 here and $100 here and $500 here, and we were completely funded and overfunded right before we left. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just amazing to see the outpouring of love from so many different people to see the gospel go, and just and it's all because of God's stirring their hearts.
That's right.
And so don't let that be anything that stops you from going. Is you're like, oh my gosh, how are we going to fund this? Just pray about it and let God handle it. He will.
Mm. That's right. That's right.
So tell us the question again, too.
Yeah, so real quick, just what did this mission trip look like over the course of time that y'all were there?
Okay, so it wasn't exactly what I had envisioned. You know, whenever you get ready to do something like this, you get these preconceived notions in your head, and you're like, you're playing these scenarios out. You know, well, maybe this will happen, maybe that will happen, maybe this will happen. What I prayed for was that we would get to our first destination and share the gospel, and so many people would come to faith that we would have to spend the rest of our time there showing them how to do church. And that's what I prayed for. I mean, I prayed hard for that for a month or so prior to the trip. But that was just me being naive and not knowing how it worked over there. The reality of it was that in Turkey and other Muslim countries especially, you got to be a little more You can't be as bold and as knock the front door down with the gospel message like I would assume to go do it. You have to be a little more discreet, and you have to be led by the Spirit in everything you do. So what we would do is after breakfast in the morning, we would make a plan on where we were going to go for the day. We would go to an archaeological site, something that's in the Bible, and we would go tour through that city, the ancient ruins, and see the sites. And then we would go to lunch somewhere, and we would sit down to lunch, and God would either bring people into the restaurant or remove people from the restaurant, and there would be one or two people that were left there that were in the right frame of mind and open to what we had to share. And so David would begin by inviting them over to our table, and they would sit down with us. And then he would break out his gospel sharing card, and he would go through the gospel message with them in Turkish. We couldn't understand what they were saying, but we could see what they were saying because of the pictures on the booklet that he was going through. We kind of got an idea what was being said. And so he would share the gospel. When he got done sharing the gospel message, he would go one by one with each of us at the table and ask us in Turkish and in English, what has Jesus done for you? Mm-hmm. And we would give a short testimony of what Jesus had done in our life. And we just go around the table and do that. At the commencement of that, he would give them some tracts that were printed in Turkish, and he would leave that information with them, and he would tell them, I want you to read these, to think about what was said and what you heard, and I will be back to see you sometime. And he didn't tell them, I'll be back in a week, or I'll be back in a month, or I'll be back in a year. He said, I will be back to see you sometime. Mm-hmm. And then we would leave, and we would go somewhere else, and we would repeat that process two or three times a day, every day while we were there. And so it wasn't a big, you know, we're going to go out and stand on a big rock and preach a gospel message to the crowds and you know, do an altar call and see hundreds of people come to Christ. It was one or two at a time. It was one or two at a time, a couple times a day. And it was just consistent, one or two people, one or two people, one or two people.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and that, like, that goes against every preconceived notion I think anybody would have of a mission trip.
Yeah, exactly.
That, like, when you have it in your mind, you're like, oh, we're going to go there and maybe we're going to build something, or we're going to help the local people out in some way. But, like, ultimately, like, we're going to be sharing the gospel every opportunity we get.
Yes.
And especially from talking with you after coming back, because it's a Muslim community, and because, I mean, there's people who are literally, like, very literally being persecuted for their faith. Yes. In Turkey, whether it's being kicked out of the country altogether or straight up just killed.
While we were there, three missionaries, in the week that we were in Turkey, we got a phone call, or David got a phone call one day that three missionaries were kicked out of the country because they were going too hard in one area for too long.
Yeah.
And somebody made a phone call to the government, and they got removed from the country.
Yeah. And so the way that y'all did it was necessary to kind of share the gospel in a discreet way, you know, and Spirit led, I will see you again.
Yes.
If this is ordained, you know, like, I will find you again.
Yeah. One of the amazing things that I saw was we went to a town that David hadn't been to in a year.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationships are so important to those people in Turkey. We have superficial relationships in the United States.
Yeah.
We can work with somebody. We can spend some time with them and really not get to know them or to really love them like we should. Over there, when you sit down with somebody, you're instantly talking about, like, deep, serious things. You can see the love in their eyes, and you just love them because they're people and they love you back. But we went to a town that he hadn't been to in a year, and we were driving down the road, and a guy ran up to the car and was hollering, "David, David, David." And he not only, you know, excited to see him, but remembered his name. David had met this guy one time in a year ago and shared the gospel message with him. This guy remembered him from a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder how many people in the United States that you meet one time in a year, if you'd even remember their face a year from now.
That's right. That's right. And just for clarification, David is the missionary that we partner with in Turkey. And so every time we kind of talk about David, That is the person who kind of led the mission that stays in Turkey, that we've partnered with. And usually every time you hear about a Turkey mission trip, that's, they're going to where he's at, and he's the one that's leading the group and everything. Morgan, anything you want to add with that?
The only thing I think of is, I'm sorry, there's something stuck in my throat today. The only thing I would just push back on a little bit, and this is just, this is not what I believe y'all are trying to say, but just in general to anybody that might be listening, is that almost never in long-term or short-term mission work are you going to be preaching to a congregation. You know, now maybe, I'm not saying the Lord is not capable. I think he's plenty capable. Mm-hmm. And I think we see these crazy stories in Acts, you know, and things like that. But like, you, we have to remember that in most other places in the world, there is no established church. And so you're kind of starting with scratch, yeah, you know, exactly. And that means exactly what Chris is saying. That means one to two people at a time. And I think that there are small, interesting opportunities where maybe you'll sit down and you get to speak with a family at a time. That might be 8 or 10 people, but that's about the biggest you're going to get, you know? And so when we think about global missions, it's important to take off our American hat, you know, and take away like the organizational church with the building and with the congregation and with the one speaking pastor and things like that, and put on like our, what Chris is saying, our loving gospel focused hat, and find one person at a time and speak to their hearts. Because like that story you told about that man that remembered David a year later, I think he probably remembered him not because of the man that David is, but because of the message that David shared.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a life-changing gospel message. And to just let that hold the power and just trust that Christ is going to use that for the people that he has intended to use it for.
Yeah,
we definitely saw the Spirit move there on, in the hearts of a few people. But we also saw the Spirit, that David was in tune with this, what the Spirit was saying on where to go, mm-hmm. you know, each day. Because he's got a whole country, you know, of places to go to. But in the morning times, he would be sitting there, you know, studying on where do we want to go today? Where do we want to go today? And then it would just hit him. You know, we need to go here. And God always had somebody there that was open to hear what we had to say.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see, you know, God leading our footsteps and where we needed mm-hmm. to go.
Yeah, and that's really good. All right, let's go to our next follower question. It says, what is one thing you will always remember from this trip? What's one thing you'll always remember from this trip that you're going to take away?
Well, I mean, this is not going to be any surprise for most people, but the food was phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily a God thing, mm-hmm. but the food is phenomenal. I will always remember that, but I guess the God thing that I really remember is driving down the road, no matter where you went, and people don't have a smile on their face and they don't have a spark in their eye. Mm-hmm. They don't have the Spirit of God living in them. The only people that you saw that were smiling were if you were in their shop spending money or if you were eating with them. Mm-hmm. Other than that, just you don't see smiles. You don't see everybody's eyes are glazed over. And to drive by cities of 500,000 or 600,000 people and knowing that if something tragic happened tonight, that every single one of them go to hell, that's almost more than you can handle.
Yeah.
It's a huge burden on your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we've talked a little bit about this, but, you know, just how different that is from especially South Georgia and, yes. and the United States as a whole, where you know, everybody at least like knows of Jesus. Yes. Like we, you know, you celebrate Christmas is coming up. Everybody like, even if, you know, they're the most non-Christian or non-religious person in the world, like they've heard the nativity story. Like they understand that Jesus was born in a manger and all that stuff. But I mean, we're talking about people that literally have no access to the gospel.
Yes. And that's something Brandon and I were talking about, Monday or Tuesday. is when we were discussing this, and it's sad that all those people, you know, they have no access. Like you said, we have a street, we have a church on every corner, mm-hmm. all throughout the United States. It's not just the South, but prevalently in the South, but even in the Northeast and Northwest, where you know Christianity is at an all time low in American people, there's still a church on every corner. It's, yeah. it's accessible to everybody. And Brandon made the analogy. He said it's like, you know, here in America, we've got this big glass of water and we're begging people to drink it. But over there, they don't even have the water.
Yeah.
And that's what is really, really sad. They don't even have the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus. Some of these people will be will be born, they will work their whole lives, and they will die, mm-hmm. never seeing anybody except another Muslim person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another thing that stood out to me a lot, you know, learning about missions and stuff. Someone told me one time, I can't remember if it was on a mission trip or during a training, but they said when you go out to these different countries and you meet these people of different religions, whether it be Muslim or Buddhist or whatever else, you know, if you meet someone and you can remember the name, you can write it down, your interaction, whatever, and you pray for them, you might be the only person in the entire world praying for that person, because you might be the only Christian they have ever met and will ever meet. Mm. And it's just like, that should convict us to like be praying for these souls, be praying for these people, because I do believe that there's like, if you prayed for the entire country of Turkey, there's more than just the three of us praying for the entire country of Turkey by the grace of God. But like, say you met someone, and I'll just say random name, like I'll say more my name. You met someone there named Morgan, probably not, but just pretend. You might be, even if we have 100 people praying for Turkey, you might be the only person in the entire world praying for Morgan. And it's just, you never know what that's going to change and how the Lord could use that.
Yep,
so
exactly.
To not take those opportunities for granted.
That's right. That's really
that's
good.
That's powerful to think that we might be the only person in the whole world, in the whole universe, ever to be praying for that person. Mm. I mean, that is a burden. It's like but it's a good burden.
Yeah.
You know? And so how many people do we want to be praying for? All of them, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't remember everybody's name, but I did meet two men there that I've got a relationship with now. We are like, we're friends on some social media, and I know some specific things about both of them to be praying for.
That's
and
right.
I have been praying for them, and yeah. It's just, amazing that I might be the only person praying for them.
Yeah, that's really good. All right, next question. Tell us, tell of a moment that you experienced God in a new or fresh way while in Turkey.
A new or fresh way. I don't think that I did, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've been blessed to see a lot of the fullness of God in my own life. And so I don't think I saw anything fresh or new. Maybe the one of the ladies that we talked to, her and her husband in a restaurant, I saw the love being poured out from David to her. Mm-hmm. And we saw her eyes go from dark and veiled to alive and full of spark. And you see that here in the States too, but to see it in somebody that you know is spiritually dead, I guess would be be seeing a new move of the Lord.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Morgan.
I was going to say, like, I don't want to answer a question for you, but just having been able to talk with you a little bit since coming back, I wonder if maybe you have seen even more of God's love for his people through this trip, because the burden that I hear you talk about for these unreached people in these different countries is very different than before you left. Not
yes,
that you didn't
man.
Care about them before you left. It's just more personal now, you know? And maybe that is something, you know, to answer this question is like how personal each and every person on the entire world, you know, is to God, because it's hard for us to understand because, oh, we care even more about our family and our children and our spouses and things like that. But the people in Turkey, it's like a vague idea. Like there's people over there and I hope they hear the gospel, but I don't know. I mean, that's about as much as I can relate to them.
Yeah.
But it's different when you go and you actually have a burden for these people, and to know that like God himself feels that burden for every single one of us is something that's hard to wrap your mind around.
To still answer the question, tell us just about like maybe how you've changed, like from like what did you experience, you know, kind of doing air quotes here, but what did you experience or something new of God that's changed inside of you since being on this trip?
So I am definitely a different person than I was when I left. I've always loved Jesus, you know, everybody knows that.
That's right.
I don't have a problem sharing the gospel. But like Morgan said, seeing the need, the immense need for so many people, millions and millions and millions of people, the immense need for Jesus and people to be over there. I would, right now, if I had the opportunity, I would lay down everything I've got in the United States and I would go live in Turkey and minister to those people. That is the kind of change that only God can do in your heart.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess, I don't know if that answers your question or not, but that is a big change in me because I like America. I like motorcycles. I like guns. I like, you know, everything that has to do with being American.
Steak.
Steak. I love steak and I love bacon. They don't have bacon there. But I would forever give up bacon. I would forever give up steak. I would forever give up guns and forever give up motorcycles to be able to be there and minister to those people that need Jesus, because that's such a larger, more monumental task than my selfish needs or wants here, to be able to go over there and be used by God. Such a greater opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, just being on the outside of all of this, you know, getting to know you over the past 6 months, you know, really, really well, sharing an office with you and everything, and then getting to hear your stories from coming back, you know, Chris himself would say, like, he's not a perfect person at all. And
no, not
you
even
know, he
close.
Sins every single day. But Chris loves God, and he has a heart for people like somebody I've never seen before. And to talk to you before you were going on the trip, and to, you know, like, just how I could be praying for you, and just all the conversations we had about how excited you were, to then, like, come back and you're like, man, I'm gonna be a welder in Turkey and I'm gonna make it happen. Like, I'm gonna do whatever I gotta do so that I can move there. It's not so much that maybe you didn't love, you know, the global gospel mission before, but I mean, you have this giant heart for people. And I just see an explosion of you being even more so, like, let me leverage every opportunity in my life. Yeah. Like, these people, I mean, I can see the burden, you know, like, I can see the tears well up in your eyes when you talk about the Turkish people. Yeah. And how, like, it breaks your heart, you know? And I think that's an experience of God. Like, that is something that he has molded and shaped this new perspective inside of you, of people just beyond the United States. And again, not to say that, like, you never had a heart for those people before, but, like, you've experienced it, you've seen it. And I mean, once again, you know, it sounds like you're like, my yes is on the table. Like, Lord, whatever you would have for me.
Anytime, anywhere, anyhow.
That's right. That's right. Morgan, you got anything with that?
No, I mean, I love it.
That's right.
I totally agree with that. Morgan, you know, that's something that you said about it being more personal now. And that's something that I would encourage anybody to go on any mission trip they get the opportunity to go to, mm-hmm. because it does make it more personal. You know, you see these people's face, and you see their kids, and you realize that they want the same things that we want. You know, mm-hmm. they want to do well in life, to do, you know, to be able to eat, to be able to raise their kids well, and to see their kids do good. And sometimes we lose that, you know, in America, especially spoiled as we are, mm-hmm. you know, we've got every creature comfort that you can imagine. And you go over to a place like this where they don't have the same creature comforts. Mm-hmm. Their life is not as blessed as ours is, but they're still, you're still sharing a message with some people, and you're seeing it come alive in their eyes and in their hearts. And that making it more personal will change any person that goes on an overseas mission. You're going to be changed. There's no doubt in my mind. You're just going to, it's going to be so more real. And your spirit's going to be burdened for them.
That's right. Yeah, that's really good. I think let's do one more. Let's do one more, kind of keep it shorter. And so, other than, you know, the advice of go, what advice would you give to somebody who's maybe never been on a short-term mission trip, but, you know, is hearing all this and is really resonating with them? What advice would you give them, whether it's preparation or, you know, something more than just like, just do it?
Mm-hmm. Spend a lot of time in prayer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pray prior to going, pray that God would soften your heart toward the people you're going to see. Pray that God would soften their heart toward the message that you're bringing.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for God to make divine appointments. That he would put people across your path while you're there that are open to receive the gospel message. Do a little bit of language study prior to going, and, you know, to be able to at least say, I'm big on being polite, so, you know, the first thing that I wanted to learn, wait a minute, let me back up. The first thing that I learned was how to ask for coffee.
Yeah.
Because I knew that was going to be important.
So that you can be polite later on.
That's right.
Yeah, the politeness came later on, but I did learn please. I learned Cave Lute fan, which is coffee, please. And because I knew in the mornings I was going to need some coffee. But the very next thing I tried to learn, or I wanted to learn, was how to be polite, because it is all about building relationships. So the very next thing I learned was mem nun oldum, which means very nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. And so that way you can begin before you go, you already know how to be polite to people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that goes a long way, you know, in building a relationship is, you know, letting them know that it's nice to meet them and letting them know that, yeah. you know, you don't have nothing but love for them. There's no ulterior motives in what you're doing other than you just want to share the love of Christ with them.
That's right.
And so I think the language studies would be good. Lots of prayer. And you're not going to need near as many clothes as what you think you're going to need. I was leaving a few clothes at the motel every day so that way I could put candy in my suitcase to bring back home.
That's right. Morgan, what advice?
I think my advice is more of a challenge, which probably comes as no surprise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Q, you said specifically, like, if people's hearts are being burdened, and I would say even more specifically, if your heart is not being burdened, like, either way, would you join me in laying the question on the table of, are you really willing to do whatever God calls you to do? Because it might just go on a short-term mission trip. You know, it might just be going a short-term mission trip. Even if you, I mean, Chris is a firsthand, you know, experience of saying, like, that just wasn't my thing. And that's okay. It's not everyone's going to have the opportunity. But for Chris, you know, we've heard him say that he loved the Lord and he loved people and he understood missions. It just wasn't something that God was calling him to until God did, you know, and then he was open and he was willing. And so I would challenge everyone listening, you know, is your yes really on the table? And if it's not, like, that's okay. Let's start there and figure out why and what's keeping it there, you know, because the first, you know, the first step in Alcoholics Anonymous is admitting you have a problem. No, no, I'm just kidding. The first step, though, really is, like, acknowledging, like, where am I at spiritually? And if my yes is not on the table, let's start there. Like, let's dive into scripture, dive into prayer. Let's go to the Lord with that and say, Lord, I'm not willing. I'm not willing to go. Like, would you help me understand why? Would you change my heart? Or would you give me opportunity? And, you know, you can participate in global missions without getting on a plane. You can participate through financially supporting people, through prayerfully supporting people, through taking part in discipleship, you know, here to help people get ready to go to evangelize here. But, like, you know, Chris is gifted in evangelism. I am not. If you were to look at my spiritual gifts, it is towards the bottom. But my yes is on the table, and the Lord has taken that yes and taken my husband and I to go overseas long term, even if evangelism is not our top spiritual gift. And so the Lord has gifted each one of us uniquely to participate in bringing him more glory, period. And so the question is just, where is it geographically going to be used? And so that would be my, I don't know if that's a piece of advice or challenge or whatever, but get involved, because every one of us is called to be involved to some extent, whether it's here in Statesboro, anywhere in the United States or not. And so start seeking the Lord about, you know, Lord, you've called me to be involved, and I know that, you know, the Bible says make disciples of all nations. What is my role in the Great Commission? So that's what I think.
That's a great point, Morgan. How can I leverage what gifts and talents God has given me? How can I leverage where God has put me in life in order to support missions, whether it be short-term, long-term, or whether it be here in the United States or overseas, you know, leveraging those things to bring God glory. Mm-hmm. That's a great, great point.
Yeah, I think just as y'all are talking, like, the thing that I would want a listener to hear is that, you know, obviously we have two kind of very mature Christians that we're talking to about this, but, like, this is not something that is saved for, you know, like, the super mature, elect, special Christian.
Not at all.
You know, like, if you're saved, like, you should go on a mission trip. Like, you could be called to a mission trip, I guess is what I'm wanting to say. And so, you know, for the person that, like, was saved this past year, this past month, like, God could be calling you to a mission trip. And he's not waiting for you to, like, learn a bunch about the Bible and be able to have this, like, super polished gospel message to present people. Like, he can and will use you exactly where you're at with your walk in Christ.
Absolutely.
And so don't walk away from this thinking, oh, well, maybe I'll do a mission trip in 2 years, like, when I'm a little bit more mature, or, you know, God could never use me. Like, that one is the enemy, like, trying to,
that's exactly what it is.
Like, trying to deceive you and trying to put lies into your head. And two, again, kind of what I said, like, He does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Mm. Yeah. And it's not about anything that my strength or Chris's strength or Morgan's strength of what we can do and our knowledge, but it's our faith and knowing that if I put my yes on the table, like, God will equip me. He will give me the words. The Holy Spirit will translate the mumble that's coming out of my mouth to sound like something pleasing to somebody else's ears to where they can accept Christ into their life. And so, you know, all the only thing that God is calling us to is faith and obedience. Like,
that's right.
That's it. It's faith and obedience. And so we actually do have some mission opportunities coming up new year. And so I wanted to talk about those just a little bit. And so the first one that we have is the Great Commission Weekend, which will be in Washington, D.C. That is going to be February 19th through the 23rd. We are going to do a college. Let's do this. So we're going to have a adult Dominican Republic trip, which is going to be April 5th through the 12th. And then we are going to have another mission trip to Turkey, which is going to be May 31st through June 7th. And so we have some opportunities coming up. I know that we're going to also have another DR trip for college specifically, mm-hmm. and then potentially another Turkey trip mm-hmm. later on in the year. And so those are the ones that we have like specific dates for. There are signups already for that Washington, D.C. trip and the DR trip. And so if you are listening to this and you feel that God is starting to stir in your heart, talk to me, talk to Morgan, talk to Chris, go to Next Steps and just tell the person, you know, I'm interested in global missions and, we can trust that God will take it from there. But we are so excited, to have Chris back with us and to have this fire in his heart, to potentially be a long-term missionary, maybe one day, if God, Lord willing,
whatever God's got for me.
That's right. But thank y'all for joining us today. We love you so much and we'll see you next time.